Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
For the next wee while, we are talking about the church that God has called us to be. And it's going to center around the three things we do. If you summed up, what is it all about at the Vineyard? It's about formation, community and impact, or spiritual formation, community or family, and city and global impact, which we thankfully shortened down to formation, community, and impact. We believe it's our calling and our mission. We believe that if we follow Jesus seriously and deeply, not only will we be saved and changed by him, but his goodness and life will overflow and impact everything around us, our relationships, our circumstances, even our city and the island we live on. So we're going to be going a bit deeper with each of those three things. How would I even do spiritual formation? Like, what on earth is spiritual formation? We'll be talking about that over the next couple of weeks. What about this deal about community or community gathered around Jesus? How would I commit to that, or why would I even want to commit to that? And then city and global impact that Jesus invites us to have. How does that all work? And I'm just little old me, and you're talking about a global impact? Come on, are you crazy? Well, we're about to find out here in the next couple of weeks. So last week, we did an intro to this series from Colossians 2:6, which you can find on the website if you want to catch up. And today, we're going to be focusing in on community, and then I'm going to preach for a shorter time, he said, hopefully. And then we will gather everybody who is leading a life group this term. It's kicking off. Most life groups are kicking off this week. There is still time to sign up. So we're going to gather them all up here. We're going to pray for them and commission them and strong arm you into signing up for one if you haven't already. So that's what we're going to do. I'm just going to pray briefly. Father, would you give us ears to hear what you're saying to us? We thank you for the life and vibrancy we have in our community. And Lord, we long to see your presence and your power here amongst us. And we long to see your presence and your power encountering countless number of lives across our city and our island. So would you speak to us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I've just kind of got a few wee points here that are kind of divided up a little bit like this. First, I'd like to talk about what does the story of God tell us about community? Funny story, my spiritual father planted two churches, and he planted one in a place called Evanston, just north of Chicago, and it's the Evanston Vineyard still going. I think they're 40 years old, something like that, pretty crazy. But kind of in the middle of that planting journey, he went and planted a church in a place called Humboldt Park, which is a part of around Chicago. And at that time, anyway, it was a rough, tough place, and there was a lot of gangs and things like that. And they kind of did that thing where they move into that kind of an area and do what they could to make an impact. And he would tell the story that the thing that was in vogue was small groups or life groups, and it was like, we've got guitars and we've got life groups, and our church is going to grow because we're radicals, you know, we've got small groups and stuff like that, and we've got this thing called community. And what they discovered was most people in Humboldt Park actually already had community, and they had small groups. They were called gangs. And they weren't looking for community, and they weren't looking for guitars. And so it was a very difficult church planting journey, and which you'll have to ask him about some other time. But anyway, I've often thought of that, and I've often thought about that in our context here. And whilst we may have some gangs, we actually, like Belfast is a place that and Northern Ireland's a place where we actually have a lot of inbuilt community already. Because if you read all the books by the smart people, the church growth gurus, right, they tell you do community because people don't have community. Well, they're just writing from a North American context, or maybe like a London context, where I grew up, it would be uncommon for you to be in the town that you were born in. You would go and you'd maybe go to university and then you'd go find work and you could be scattered across the United States, which is slightly bigger than this island. And, you know, you'd just be spread to the four winds, and so you just have cities and towns all over the place where, yeah, people are disconnected from where they're from. But Belfast in Northern Ireland is slightly different than that. You know, it's just not that big, and most of us still have family roots and connections. So whilst it's not a Humboldt Park, you know, gang kind of wildness, it's, you know, it's actually, we have inbuilt community. And so oftentimes when we talk about community, you politely listen, but the look on your face is, prove it to me. Why? Why do I need community? So I'm going to try and hopefully tell you why you might need some community. And where we start is where we always start, with the story of God or the scriptures. What does the story of God tell us about community? Well, theologically, I think this is hugely important. I don't know if you've ever thought about the doctrine of the Trinity. Most of you, I know, have thought about that a lot, right? You sit around thinking about that at least four or five times a week. And if you think about the Trinity, you know that God is in three persons and he is one God. So he exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and also as one God. He is himself in community. He is in community. Let's see. Dallas Willard helps us think about the Trinity by saying this: the Trinity is a self-sufficing community of unspeakably magnificent personal beings of boundless love, knowledge, and power. God's aim in human history is the creation of an inclusive community of loving persons, with himself included as its primary sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. That's pretty good, isn't it? God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is in a divine dance. The early theologians called it the perichoresis, which means they're in community. They're in this like divine dance. They're in community, and we are invited into that community through faith in Jesus. If we search the Old Testament, we see a few interesting things. The Genesis account reveals in creation, God creates man in his own likeness or image. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And that is really interesting for a lot of reasons. But when you're thinking about community, it means you bear the image of God who is himself in community. And so the deep hunger, if you've ever wondered why there's the deep hunger for community in the human heart, it's because we were created in the image of God who is in community. We bear his image, and that's where our deep need for community is born. Again, in Genesis, we see God speaking over Adam. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Animals weren't enough. It actually wasn't enough for just Adam to be in community with the animals and God. Something's missing. And God says it's not good for the man to be alone. And then we have Eve in the garden, complete community with each other and with God and with creation. We were made for this. We were made for community with one another and with God. We could spend forever going through the rest of the Old Testament, and we would see God always calling a people to be with him and to be there together in unity for him and for his mission. And not just a crowd of individuals, but throughout the Old Testament, you see God calling his people to be a family, like family or tribes, all gathering, and a whole nation is formed. And he gave them the law to help them live as family or live as his community with him at the center. And then we have the New Testament. So we see the Son, Jesus, the Christ, turn up. And what is the first thing that he does? He gathers community to himself. He calls the disciples together as to be his friends and apprentices on mission with him. He has a core group of 12 of his closest followers, and then he just expands that out from there. When Jesus came to change the world, he gathered people into community. Part of following him was following him in community. Again, first the 12, and then larger and larger and larger. And today, Jesus is still gathering people around himself in communities large and small all over the world. Part of knowing and loving Jesus is following him, and part of following him is doing that in community with other people, intending to do it and intending to do it with other people. and all that goes with that. The birth of the early church, we see Acts chapter 2. We see that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. In other words, community, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Again, community. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That would have been the only place big enough to gather as a big group. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So the temple courts, big groups. In people's homes, small groups. So right at the genesis of the birth of the church, people are gathering in various different ways, shapes, and forms. In community, there's something about carrying the mission of Jesus that needed the church meeting in large groups at times and small groups in homes regularly. Well, the rest of the New Testament tells us about community. It tells us how to be and love others in community. It tells us that communities centered around Jesus were being planted all the time, all over the place. That the mission of God requires community. Most of the letters we have that make up your New Testament were written to communities. That's the assumption. And it's important. The New Testament doesn't really have a category for individuals following Jesus outside of community. Like, I'm just taking a break from God, or I'm taking a break from community. It doesn't compute that at all. So that's a little bit about what the scriptures and the story of God would tell us about community. There's something we need. We need to be around and in a community, not just a community, but a community that's gathering around and worshiping Jesus. What do our hearts tell us about community? Well, again, our hearts tell us we need it. Our hearts tell us that we were made in the image of God and God is a community. And then there's that need in us because we're image bearers. We're made for community with God and community with each other. Communities that are gathered around Jesus are potent places where we receive from Him and we receive from His people. Community is where we're pointed to Jesus by others. It's where we experience love and mercy from Him through others. It's where we find healing and wisdom and hope and freedom, and we have fun and experience growth and health, and we worship and we learn together and we learn to be together in love. It's also where we give and we serve and we use our gifts to bring all those things to other people. And our hearts tell us and our hearts know that isolation is a killer. It's not good for us to be alone. What if it's just as simple as Genesis chapter 2? And we are running a risk when we allow ourselves to get isolated from friends and family and our spiritual family. And it's a funny thing. Isolation isn't an instantly lethal issue, which is like you just kind of get isolated a little bit and then it's over and it's done. It's not like that at all. And which is why we think we can cope with a disengagement from Christian community. You know, I'm an introvert and I can cope with and I even need large amounts of solitude. But solitude and isolation are two different things. And isolation is toxic. It's like sin and brokenness, right? Sin and brokenness that they build up slowly, but when they gather a head of steam, it's just upon us, usually with a strength that we can't fight off. You know, no one starts off deciding to wake up in the morning, I'm just going to hurt this person. I'm just going to hurt my family, or I'm going to hurt my friends. Or nobody wakes up and says, you know what, I think a good idea today would be to have an affair. Or a good idea would be just to go into the office and steal something. Or, you know, whatever. Nobody wakes up and just decides that out of the blue. It's lots of small decisions that build up into a big decision, and suddenly we find ourselves neck deep in a problem, neck deep in pain, sin, or whatever. And isolation builds up just like that. We think we can manage a lack of friendships, community, and life with a community gathered around Jesus until we can't. And then we walk away, or we drown in isolation, or part of us dies, or we walk away from faith and begin to pursue community that's not centered around Jesus. That's what our hearts tell us about community. What are some unexpected benefits of community? Well, let's talk a little bit about formation. Community is a key part of formation. We're all being shaped and formed by the environments around us, including community. And we're going to do a lot more on formation in the next 2 weeks. But here is just a really basic definition that's it's just pure me. I quote a lot of different people. Today I'm quoting me. There you go. This is my best shot. Spiritual formation, learning from Jesus how to live in and receive his love and presence and let that impact and change us into his likeness and overflow to and influence the world around us. Wordy and kind of like me. So here's maybe a better one from somebody smarter. Spiritual formation is a life of learning from Jesus Christ how to live in the kingdom of God as he himself did. We are shaped and formed by Jesus into his likeness. We learn from him how to live our lives as if he himself were living our life. We learn from him how not just to be saved, we learn how to live in the kingdom of God. We apprentice ourselves to him and we're shaped and formed by him. And community is a really powerful place that we are formed. There are things that you can only learn about or learn from Jesus by being with people. And it's in community that we do that. How do you learn? How do you experience the formation that comes when you realize that people love you and welcome you despite your flaws? Like, how do you learn that? Well, you're part of a community where you receive that. And it's deeply formational. How do you learn to love one another? You know those fairy tale verses in the Bible? Like, this is Jesus speaking to us. A new command. So it's not a new good idea. It's not a new hypothesis. This is Jesus saying command, which means get it done, right? A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How's that going? Like, where do we learn how to do that? Well, we are part of a community, a family centered around love for Jesus at its heart. And we find people in that community. And in the power of the Spirit, in the presence of Jesus, we go for it. And we learn. And in a church community, we have things like life groups and serving teams and other gatherings where they're great for that, because here's what happens in these things. You have random groups of people coming together, and the only reason they're coming together is because they love Jesus or are exploring life with Jesus. So they're not like your best mates. They're not like your biological family usually. They're just random people. And they're probably not, if we're honest, the people we pick. But they're people Jesus is bringing to us. And we get to learn and practice stepping out of our comfort zone, and we get to learn to love one another. And if you just think about the last time or the first time you learned how to do anything, there probably was some trial and error, right? You probably gave it a go and weren't awesome at whatever you were learning the first time, right? Well, learning to love one another or learning to forgive or learning to whatever is like that as well. And it's in community where we actually bump into some people and we get to learn from Jesus how to live his life. So communities are incredibly formational. We get to love who comes. Instead of we get to pick who comes. And we usually, when we pick those we already love. And we don't need to learn how to love them because we are doing it already. There's just unexpected blessings received. And the most powerful one is actually when you are entering into a group, you take a risk, and it's kind of a random group of people that you wouldn't pick, and you realize that actually they love and welcome you. And it is deeply healing. But we're going to have to take some risks. But that's okay, because risks are good for us. Who you hang out with forms you, and that's positively or negatively. All of us can probably remember a time when we realized, you know, this group of people I'm hanging out with, or this relationship that I'm in, or whenever I am with so-and-so, I don't do very well. I lose sight of my values. I'm not my best self. I am in need of some boundaries. We probably could all point to different relationships or times in our life when we were like, I need some different friends. Wow, you know? We could probably also talk about groups of people who lifted us up, that we were impacted in hugely positive ways. You know, community is just formational. And when we're in communities gathered around Jesus, they impact us in a positive way. And then just simply the rhythm or discipline of engaging in community is formational, just like opting out of community is formational. You ever wonder why it's hard to get back in the rhythm of doing anything? Like, let's just say coming to church on a Sunday morning is really hard when you've been out of the way of it. It's because you're being formed. And do you ever realize, like, if you had parents like mine, unless you were dead, you didn't miss church. Like, I've been dragged by my collar to church. They were just hardcore. But then after a while, it just becomes what you do, right? You don't even question it. You're just there. I don't mean that in a bad way, but you've just been formed because you've done something. It's deeply formational. Building up a rhythm becomes what you do. Our habits form us, which I'll talk about next week. And again, would you just think about that when it comes to Sundays and life groups and ministry and community here? Would you think about Sunday mornings coming to church, not so I feel better about our numbers, right? I don't really care about the numbers. But would you come because formation is at stake in you and in your family? There's something about God's presence and community and repetition. Day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. Why does the Bible tell us about the festivals and rhythms of the people of God gathering? Why does it say, remember, 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 mark this, do this, do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me? Why does it do that? Because it's formational. We become something when we embrace the rhythms of community and the rhythms of God. As we worship together, as we pray for one another, as we have fun, which is incredibly spiritual, as we practice hospitality, again, which is incredibly spiritual, as we do life together, read and wrestle with his word together, it's all deeply formational in community. And if we're going to make it with Jesus, we need it. And it takes time. We're a church that celebrates and goes to the breaking in of God's kingdom in the areas of healing and salvation and anything right now. Like, we will, in a minute, we'll be praying for one another and we'll pray for anything. And we will ask for God's kingdom to come right now and just intervene in our circumstances. And we do that without repentance or apology, and we won't stop. But it can also send the message that the miraculous is always instantaneous, which we also don't believe. We believe it can be and often is instantaneous, and we expect that fully in our hearts. But just as often, we recognize that healing and wholeness and breakthrough and miracles can happen over time, along obedience in the same direction. Life following Jesus in community can produce those kinds of miracles, and they're both miracles. So, that requires us to invest in a place and in a people. And you might be sitting here saying, look, I've got lots of relationships, I got lots of friends, I got lots of family, and I'm just dipping the toe in here, might not need to invest here because I've got lots of that sorted. And I would just say to you, community is formational, and it's more than just hanging out. Do we have community that is centered around following Jesus and worshiping him? And if we don't, we will be pulled away from that reality. So if we say that we want that, we need to invest in it amongst the people who are passionate about that, and we will be shaped and we will be formed. Really quickly, another unexpected benefit, which is support for your mission. You didn't know you were going on mission, but you are. Here's news for you. We all get to participate in the big mission of Jesus together, but we also get to be helped and supported and equipped in the individual missions we carry. We're all on mission. We all have an assignment in the big story of God. We all have an assignment for us from God. and we have gifts and skills, and he has hand-placed us in the places that we are. Maybe that's in your workplace, maybe that's in your family, maybe that's in your street, maybe it's a seasonal thing for you right now where you're investing here, and then another season you'll invest there. Maybe it's a lifetime call for you. Whatever it is, we each have an individual mission we carry, and there are things we can only learn about Jesus from being on mission with him. It's how he trained his first followers, invites them into community, and then invites them into his mission. He trained them, he spent time with them, and then he gave his mission away to them little by little, and then he entrusted the whole shooting match to them and empowered them with his presence. And whether your mission is something here in the vineyard or whether it's something outside the vineyard, maybe it's where you work, a life group or community helps you on your mission. It becomes a place of support and friendship and some helping hands. It can become a sanctuary where you come once a week and it's a safe place for you to process what on earth has happened to you in difficult seasons. It can be a place where you receive ministry. It can be just simply a place where you have fun and are encouraged. A place of discernment where people have words from the Lord for you. A place where you're in God's presence. A place where you can be yourself and not perform. A place where you can be equipped. You can hear God for you and hear God for others and learn how to do that. There are places that train and help you to learn how to live an outward-focused life that will impact lots of other people around you and have a posture that's outward, not existing for myself and all that I can get, which is, again, deeply formational and helpful if you have a mission in the world. And you might be thinking, again, I can't afford to go to life group, or I can't afford to go to church all the time, or I can't afford to invest in a community centered around Jesus. And I just would ask a different question. I would say, well, okay, it's not North Korea. You could decide whatever you want to do. I can't make you go to a life group or something like that. But I can ask you, can you and your mission, can you and what you're called to, can you and what is going on in your life right now that's meant to impact the city in big ways and small ways, afford not to be in community? Can you afford that? And that's a question for you to wrestle with. I just want to talk really briefly and honestly about life groups for just a couple minutes, and then we are going to gather our life group leaders up here, and we're going to pray for them and commission them, and then we'll be done. So, what are life groups? They are life groups, or they're small groups. Some are organized by affinity. In other words, there's, you know, people who like to do this thing and come on and do it with us, and we'll do that as people who love Jesus, love our city, and want to serve. Others are centered around families, come to those, you know, all that stuff. So there are well over 20 of them in a number of different age groups. So there's a group for kids, there's a group for youth, and there's a group for adults. And you will be able to sign up this morning. But I think of them as outposts of connection, outposts of fun, outposts of the presence of God. The places where midweek or on a weekend we intentionally gather around one another and gather around Jesus. They're also the primary place of pastoral care where we care for each other. It's not that the staff pastors don't do what normal pastors do in terms of visiting the sick and doing pastoral care, but we just believe we're all pastors and we're all dispatched and blessed into pastoral care. And being part of a community means somebody at least knows what's going on and can help if you need help. And so life groups spread across the life of our church really help with pastoral care. We don't ever want anyone to be missed. And that's just a place of connection. Ministry teams are also a place of connection. And outreaches and where we serve, they're places of connection to make sure we're not missed. So that when we need the body knows where you are. So they're hugely important that way. But here's some truth. This is just truth about life groups and community, okay? So oftentimes churches tell you that their programs, life groups, their whatevers are like 10 shades of awesome. And it's like about to be the best thing you've ever seen, right? That's how churches try. Well, I'm going to try and do the opposite. Because the truth is, community isn't convenient. You know, we try and make it a bit accessible. We have life groups and other things spread across virtually every night of the week and different parts of the city and different interests. We try, right? But here's the truth. It's just not convenient. Following Jesus also is not convenient. We have to intend to follow Jesus, and we have to intend to invest in community that's gathered around him. And part of today is just inviting you to intend to. And some of us, again, we're just like, well, I can't right now. And again, fine. Like, I'm not going to make you do anything. But when are you going to intend to, and can you afford not to? It takes perseverance, and it takes risk, and it can be awkward. And here's another thing. If you sign up for a life group today and you go, I can virtually guarantee you that it won't solve all of your problems instantly. And sometimes we can carry pretty high expectations into things. And we should have high expectations. But when we need to invest over time to see return on those investments and expectations. But community is vital and is profoundly life-changing over time and can lead to deep spiritual friendships. It can lead to encounters and deep friendship with Jesus, and it will help us keep following him. And I really want you to go to a life group. I really want you to invest in community. I really do. So it's not convenient. Community life groups are really hard. Good news, right? And I'm inviting you to intend and to commit and to play your part. And doing that is hard, right? Showing up is hard. There are lots of people in the world that are extraordinarily talented, but not everybody turns up over time, right? Then it's the turning up that's actually the hard thing. You know, and life groups meet week in, week out, and you know, you'll always have the nights where you just don't feel like it, where you wonder if you still love Jesus, and you're pretty sure you don't like people, and work's gone crazy, and kids have been wild, and all that stuff, and you'll have those, right? And so it's actually hard to step into a context of community and to push it out further, even when you, in the moment, don't want to. It's also hard to invest in new people, because you might be thinking, I've got a nice, tight little circle of friends. It's really good. Don't need to. It's hard, and I know that it's hard, but we say around here a lot that hard doesn't always equal bad. Hard usually means worth it in the long run. So it's hard. It's awkward. I'm selling it to you now, aren't I? You're signing up like crazy. They're all full. There's new people, right? And some of us love meeting new people, and others of us, we're a bit more shy, and that's a bit more of a challenge. So there's new people, there's new houses, there's random groups, you know, maybe not who you would choose to be in the group. You might encounter people who have different opinions than you. You probably, I'm just telling you the truth, you'll probably be offended at least once, maybe more, in a life group, okay? But the truth is, I'm just going to give it to you straight. You've probably offended lots of people without knowing it by just simply being you. So get over it. And let's push through. And let's adult. And like, let's try. And let's remember that awkward's not the enemy. Awkward actually often means you're on the cusp of something. And if we just push, we might get there. You know, if you're a single guy here and you would like to be married one day, and if you approach a single young woman and you ask her out on a date, that could get really awkward for a moment or two or week or 2 weeks or whatever. But you could be about to spill into being married for the rest of your life. Awkward's not the enemy. It's just a sign we might need to push through. They won't solve all your problems instantly. I've already told you that. I just want to remind you. There are places to pursue Jesus, to pursue each other, and to expect community and the good things about community, and to expect to learn how to love people in Jesus' name, and expect to be loved in return, and to learn a lot about that. You're probably not going to walk into a brand new life group and have 19 instant best new friends, like the friend you've always wanted, right? But they can be contexts where we give ourselves over time to people and to Jesus and see what gifts of friendship God has for us. Many of us deeply want friends, and that's a really vulnerable thing. So maybe go and expect to give of yourself, to take a risk, and be prepared to unwrap the gift of friendship prayerfully. St. Augustine wrote a lot about this, and he more or less, I'm going to boil down, he says it way better, but basically he says you don't get to pick your friends. God gives you gifts of friendship to unwrap. And some of us have a list of people we would like to, or the idea of a person we would want to be friends with. Maybe we just put our list in the hands of God and asked him for his list. The most impacting friendships I have ever had have been the people I least expected, because they've been gifts from God. So let's be open-handed and prepare to receive them. And then lastly, just be prepared for profound changes in interactions over time. I believe you'll be changed as you engage in communities that are gathered around Jesus. But you need to play your part, and just need to remember that this is not McDonald's. I know you're a little confused, but this is not McDonald's, right? Where you show up, you order what you want for the menu, and you expect it in 3 minutes or your money back. So it's just not that. It takes a bit more time. But you know that when you eat at McDonald's, a half an hour later, you feel like you want to throw up, right? So, I got an amen for that. It's like preaching the gospel, nothing. McDonald's, amen. Awesome. Love it. Anyway, you get the idea. Let's not do McDonald's. Let's have a lingering 13-course meal over time, which will cost us something. It will cost us investment, but let's do that. That sound good? All right. If you are leading a life group this term, would you come on up and join me? And I am excited to tell you that we have like well over 20. So some couldn't make it here today because they are unwell. But we have catalogs. We have the welcome team would love to show you the website and sign you up today. They're still coming, if you can believe it. We have a wonderful, wonderful group of people. There are still spaces in most life groups. Two-thirds of the life groups you see represented here have spaces left that you could sign up for today. Most of them start this week, and it's going to be great. So I invite you to take a risk. I am going to be praying for these guys and commissioning them, and I would like to do that right now. So you can have your little life group catalogs or be on your phone like, I like the look of that person. What's their group? What night's that? You can be doing all that. You can join me. Actually, would you stand? Because I feel awkward right now. Why don't you stand? Awkward's not the enemy. And we'll pray for them. So I'll lead us out, and then you just join in with me, and then we'll all go sign up for life group. Father, thank you so much for these beautiful people and the opportunity for community. And we just ask, Lord, for groups that are incredibly fun and life-changing and soaked with your presence. And we bless these men and women to lead. We commission them to lead and to pastor and to make a difference in the lives of us. We also invite you as men and women to step out from underneath pressure. We as a body are saying pressure's off to you. We are not expecting you to work miracles. We are not expecting you to be Jesus for us. We are not expecting you to solve all our problems and to have all the answers. But we are endorsing you. We are commissioning you as leaders. And we say we're up for being a part of what you're doing. As you gathering around Jesus, we want to gather around you and Jesus. So Holy Spirit, would you fall on them? Would you increase their gifts? Would you give them increased vision for their life groups and outposts of community? Would you give them dreams in the night about what you want to do? Would you bless them? We pray that the enemy would not be able to make mischief in their families, in their homes, and in their workplaces to distract them from your mission. So would you send your angels to protect them and to bless them? Fill them with your spirit And we just say, Lord, before you, that we love you. We love you and we love them and we honor them and we commission them in your name. Amen. Well, put your hands together for them. And here's, I'm about to let you know my cunning plan. I now have a ministry team up here. And they would love to pray for any needs you have, physical, emotional, or spiritual. If you are really wrestling through isolation, if you want to begin following Jesus, you've never given your life over to following Jesus, we would love to pray for you. If you're sick, if you're injured, if you have any need at all, we're going to be up here. We would love to pray for you, and that would be wonderful. So I'm going to end us now, and then we'll collect our children. If you want prayer, come on up here. And there's also tea and coffee and nice things to eat. And life group signups still going, arm twisting. Here we go. Father, thank you so much. We love you. We're grateful for this community. Would you grow us? Would you empower us to be the church you had in mind when you created us? So we ask you to empower us to bless your city, to bless one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so come out of and get prayer. You can come meet Jesus or get prayer for anything. There's children to be collected at the back. There's tea and coffee. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.